Time now for NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Home Ice.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the NHL Hour. I can't believe the summer's over, but it's great to be back. This is Gary Bettman, along with Bill Clement, and we're coming to you live on NHL Home Ice, XM 204, and Sirius 208, and of course, NHL.com. The call-in number is 1-877-645-6696. That's 1-877-645-6696. Later in the show, we'll be joined by the host of ABC TV's The View, Whoopi Goldberg. I'm not sure how we arranged this.
Just lucky, I guess.
I don't know.
It's going to be great.
We're Access Hollywood. I don't know. You know, this actually, it's a little intimidating. She's a professional, and I'm a rank amateur. In your case, you're the professional. By the way, hello, Bill.
Hi, welcome back. This is a real, and for those listening, this is a real legitimate first-time hello, because Gary has just broken his record of all last year for the flair, of, for the dramatic, of actually coming in, sitting down, and grabbing the copy with the count going to 876. You got a flair for the—you've been working on that all summer.
No, I actually haven't. I was busy upstairs doing some other things. I neglected to look at the clock. And all of a sudden, it was time. Good thing we operate out of this building as well. How was your summer?
Fantastic. I got to go to Ireland, and it's my new favorite country. Got to do a little Olympic
work. More than
the
U.S. or Canada?
To visit.
Oh, to visit. Well, you said it was your new favorite country.
Yep. Got to call a little ping pong for NBC at the Olympics, albeit from a couple of blocks from here at 30 Rock. How about your summer? If you look back at your summer, what's the greatest thing you accomplished personally? What gives you the most satisfaction?
What did I accomplish?
Yeah, no, from a hockey sense. I mean, you were busy in the summer, even though you had some downtime.
I think we spent a lot of time reorganizing organizationally so that we'd be in a position to do more of the things we started last year, be it the Winter Classic, the games in Europe, the marketing and promotion that we're doing. When you see the spots that are running on NHL.com and on the NHL networks, it was really, for us, the summer is about preparation for the next season. In fact, when you get to August, it's already getting late to accomplish new things. But we I had a good summer. I even actually took a few days off. We took my youngest daughter to Rome and on a European cruise, which was very nice.
Yeah.
I managed to squeeze in a meeting day, which my wife reminded me of.
On the cruise?
No.
It was in Rome.
In Rome. Alex Medvedev and I had a lovely lunch for 3 hours. The lunch was great, the company was good, and the meeting was unproductive, as we've now demonstrated on an ongoing basis with respect to the Radulov saga.
And just ID Medvedev for everybody.
Alex Medvedev is the head of the Russian Ice Hockey Federation. He is the head of the KHL, affectionately known as the Continental Hockey League, spelt with a K. And he actually owns or controls one of the teams in the KHL.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the KHL, because it's related to a player that was an up-and-coming star for the Nashville Predators and still might be, what's going on with the Radulov case?
Nothing. We have been asking the KHL to respect our contracts. In fact, there is no dispute. They do not dispute that Radulov is under a valid contract with the Nashville Predators, and it's indicative of why we haven't been able to forge a broader transfer agreement or a broader level of cooperation, because there's no respect for the rule of law and contracts. And when they offered arbitration, they wanted to do it in Russia. I guess they wanted to
go figure.
They wanted to arbitrate the validity of a contract entered into in the United States under U.S. law in Russia about whether or not the player should play in Russia or the United States. We suggested they do it at an international tribunal in either Lausanne or Zurich or something, and they haven't agreed to do that.
They haven't.
No.
So there's no arbitration. There's no hearing scheduled.
No, there isn't. Which is unfortunate. But our hope, though, is that while things seem to have gotten derailed with all the other federations, and I can't even tell you why. Part of it, I think, stems from the International Ice Hockey Federation, who is looking to be perhaps protective of the Russian Federation. We had had for the prior three seasons a transfer agreement with everybody but the Russians. Somehow the IIHF didn't facilitate that happening again. But our hope is before the end of this season that we will have a transfer agreement back in place with everybody else.
If the KHL is bent on competing with the National Hockey League, and we can talk during the show about the growth mode that the NHL is still in, but you know, everything you read, everything you hear is that the KHL is coming after the National Hockey League. It certainly wouldn't seem to be a great incentive for Medvedev to want to do anything to cooperate with the NHL.
Well, I'm not sure what it means that they're coming after us. That sounds like a good headline in a newspaper
or
a blog. No, but I think the reality of it is they're not competing with us for television in North America. They're not competing with us for tickets or sponsorship. They want to compete for players, except certainly for the foreseeable future, the best players in the world will continue to want to play here. There may be the odd, rare exception, but for the most part, when you look at the players that have gone from the NHL to the KHL, they're players that the clubs here passed on. And so, you know, I'm a believer that the excellence in terms of the way our teams are run, the high level of treatment in terms of travel and arenas and the like that our players get, the cities they get to play in, and competing for the Stanley Cup is the loftiest goal in sports. I can't imagine why anybody would want to play anywhere else if you're good enough to play here, and I think that will be the case for the foreseeable future.
All the players have to do is get used to the travel over there. I'm not sure that can be done. It's going over there would be
But it's not even just the travel. It's where you're staying, the cities you
quality
visit.
Quality of life.
And the quality of the arenas. You know, we have, you know, when you think of the hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, that have been invested in arenas in North America in the last 10 years, there's really no better place in the world to play than in North America and in the NHL.
How many hungry hockey fans do we have? We've got a board that's completely filled, so they've been as anxious to get back to the NHL Hour as we have been all summer. Let's go for it, Gary.
Okay, why don't we start with Omer in New Jersey. Good afternoon. Welcome. It's Bill and Gary on XM 204 and Sirius 208. We haven't talked about that, but we'll do that later. Are you there?
Yep. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What about you?
I'm doing okay.
Just okay?
Just okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My Devils lost against the Rangers, so just okay for now.
Okay.
This too shall pass.
I was wondering, they just recently installed Verizon Fios TV in my neighborhood.
Yes.
And I wanted to switch over, but they don't offer center ice, so I had to stick with cable for another year. I was wondering if the NHL is going to work on some kind of agreement with Verizon Fios to get that done in the near future.
The answer to that is we're working on it, and my hope is in the not-too-distant future things will be finalized and we would have an announcement for you. I'm glad you're a subscriber. Be a little patient, and if you want to switch over, my hope is you'll get the chance in the not-too-distant future. That's great. Our next caller, Jeff in Ontario, you're on with Bill and Gary. This is XM 204 and Sirius 208.
Hi, Gary.
How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, this is great. I'm actually talking with the commissioner of professional sports.
Well, I'm happy because I'm talking to Jeff from Ontario.
Hey, I don't see that in any other professional sport whatsoever. This is great.
Well,
you're doing a great thing, Gary. Keep it going.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, one question. I'm a big, big-time hockey fan. Okay, I love all the Canadian clubs. Of course, I'm from Canada. I'd just like to know if in the near future, maybe expansion or not really moving a team, but expansion, near future, another Canadian club would be coming in Like, I heard a lot of talks of out east, like Halifax or something like that, or maybe even Quebec coming back, or Manitoba with Winnipeg. Like, anything upcoming?
We haven't decided to embark on a plan of expansion. The fact is that actually a number of people, if I say we're thinking of expansion, which we're not right now, they say, what are you, crazy? You have no business expanding. And then there are lots of people who are saying you should be expanding. We're not doing anything like that right now. And we haven't done any studies. We don't have a master list as to where we want to go. If we decide, based on the fact that as a business we're ready to expand and that we're responding to interest throughout a number of different markets in North America, at that point, we will open it up to anyone who is interested and take a look at all of the possible opportunities. And the three criteria that we've historically looked at if we're going to expand is the market, the owner, and the arena. And so any evaluation that we would make would look at those criteria, and we would open it up to anybody who was interested in trying to make an application and satisfy those criteria.
Gary, when you talk about the market, is that simply the mass of the market, sheer population? What other market issues are examined when you look at the market?
The market is a number of factors. You look at population, you look at media reach, and you also look at how well we think we would do as a sport. So obviously there are some Canadian markets that would have more interest with a lesser population than some markets in the United States, perhaps, that might have a larger population. Also, you want to look at the mix. And again, this might speak in favor of some Canadian cities. You look at the competition. In other words, moving into a mid-sized market that has a basketball team, a baseball team, and a football team is a tougher business potentially than being in a market where you're the only game in town.
Only so many sports dollars to go around.
Sure. And so there are the criteria. You know, I did an interview this morning on The Fan in Toronto, and one of the people on with me was giving me a hard time saying, everybody knows, surely you've looked at, you know, Southern Ontario. And the answer to that is we haven't looked at anything, because with everything we deal with on a daily basis, we try to stick to the things that are real and happening and not speculating in the future. And maybe that would be a good market. Maybe it wouldn't. Maybe the arena is suitable. Maybe it's not. You got to take a look at it. You're talking about decisions that involve hundreds of millions of dollars, and you don't do it on gut instinct. So on that note, by the way, Greg Baldinger's here. I have an important question to ask you. Couldn't they give us Sirius 204 also, so that we could be XM that, and Sirius 204 that, instead of going through two separate numbers?
That would have been very easy, yes. So that would have been good.
But you're the executive producer.
I don't control the satellites. I'd love to, but I don't.
Well, climb up there and grab a satellite for us, will you?
I am so disappointed. Let's take our next caller. Marcel in British Columbia, you're on XM 204, Sirius 208 with Bill and Gary.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's good.
Hey, I was wondering, how come you don't reinstate the full two-minute penalty? Like, I know it was taken out in 83 when the Oilers were a high-flying team, because wouldn't you think it'd be a lot harder on the team if they got scored on, like, twice for a two-minute penalty? Don't you think the players would think be a little more cautious of taking a penalty?
Well, I think for the most part, something like 85% of the penalties get killed anyway. So you're really talking about a small percentage having an opportunity to, in effect, treat a minor like a major. We haven't had a lot of call and discussion at the general manager's level, at the competition committee level, to do that. I also think that we want the officials to call the standard that we're using. And why even subjectively put something in their head that would give them a reason not to make a call if in doubt? The fact is, it seems to be working pretty well.
Sure.
And I'm not sure it would make that much of a scoring distance to give everybody the full 2 minutes. But, Bill, you have a different view of that?
No. If it leaves a game with more power play and penalty kill time on the ice, I don't like it at all. I like power plays to be special and mean something. So, and I find that power plays are generally a static offense against a static defense. I would prefer even strength play. And the more special teams play there is on the ice, I'm not for that.
Oh, okay. That's a good point, although I think the caller's view is more goals would be better.
But I think there would be less entertainment with more goals. It's not all about goals for
that's me. That's exactly, or for me, and that's exactly right. It's about the speed, the skill,
action,
the flow,
yep,
and the opportunities to score. Why don't we talk to Phil in New Jersey? You're on XM 204, Sirius 208 with Bill and Gary.
Hey, this is Bill, not Phil.
Oh, well, the screen says no, Phil, so I'm going to have to punish our computer operator.
Oh, no. Hey, I was in Prague, and I just want to make a couple comments about it. I was there for the beginning of the season. I finally got tickets on eBay from a Czech person, and it was fabulous. It was great.
I was there, too. You do look familiar.
I was looking for you. You know?
Yeah, there you go.
I was down by a bunch of Ranger fans. I mean, you probably did see me.
Yeah, the guy. Okay.
Yeah. Is this Bill?
No, this is Gary.
Bill has a mutual friend of ours, a Trip. I don't know if he mentioned me. I was going to Prague.
I didn't know Bill had any friends.
You know what? The one that I do have did mention that, Bill.
There you go.
Hey, anyway, I was there, and it was a great time. I think it's a great thing. Me and my son went. We had a great time. We stayed all week. The only thing is I did a consensus of talking to Czech people there, and everything that they said about the hockey was it kind of made it out to be like Cinderella hockey. They said that they wanted to see more action, more fighting. They were a little disappointed in talking to Czech people.
It's interesting. I went to one game in Prague and one game in Stockholm, and there was more goals scored in Stockholm, and I think the crowd was a little more active. When you have a neutral side game, even if you're sitting there as a local saying, well, I'll root for the Rangers, it's not the same level of passion as somebody who's rooting for the team that they watch play 82 times a year and then the playoffs. And I think both games in Prague were kind of low scoring, and they were early in the season in terms of the continuity and skill level. But overall, the reception from the crowd was overwhelmingly great. My guess is, had they seen a little more action or some more goal scoring, they probably would have been even more enthusiastic than they were.
Okay, we're going to step out, and we'll ask the callers to stay on hold. It's also an opportunity for the callers that are not online yet to line up, because when we come back, we've got a special treat. One of the hosts of ABC TV's The View and a big hockey fan, Whoopi Goldberg, will be joining us. It's all coming up next on the NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice, XM 204, Sirius 208, and NHL.com.
Good afternoon. It's Gary Bettman again with Bill Clement. You're on the NHL Hour. This is XM 204 and Sirius 208. And I'm actually overwhelmed. Sitting in the studio with us, and most of our guests do this by telephone, is Whoopi Goldberg.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm so happy to be here. I can't even stand myself.
Well, I can't stand myself either. But actually, I think I'm intimidated. Because you've won an Oscar, an Emmy, a Golden Globe, a Grammy.
Right.
You host The View. You are a professional interviewer, among other things. I'm a rank amateur at best, and this feels kind of strange.
You're the commissioner, okay?
Right. Yeah, but
I come to you if I need to get into a game.
Yeah, but
I call you.
But
that's
this,
huge to me.
But this is beginning to feel like Access Hollywood as opposed to the NHL.
I hope not.
So talk to us about being a hockey fan, because most people don't know that you were in 2003. I think you went to every Devils home game.
I did. I look, hockey to me is one of those gladiator games. Those are men on the ice and they're playing. And there's no jive about what's going on. They're going forwards and backwards, not on feet, but on blades. And they're getting hit. You know, you see a great football play and they run off to the side and do a little dance. You don't get that in hockey. They knock you into the glass and it just reverberates. And there's nothing better. It is an impossible game to watch at home because you can never see the puck. when you get to be a certain age.
You know what I mean? Well, high definition television's helping a little.
Not a whole lot for the really, really needy. You know, but I love the idea that guys get out and do this. And, you know, I was a Ranger fan all of my life because I grew up here in New York. And I love the Devils because they had, you know, they had little Scotty. Now, Scotty's with us, Scotty Gomez.
Yes.
But
you can't love them both.
I can.
Can you? Okay.
I can and do.
What do you
do
when they play each other?
I love everybody. I root for everybody.
You know, you do it all.
I do. Because you know what? All I really want, I know it's important who wins and who loses. I know that that's economically necessary and all those things. But for me as a fan, as just, I'm the lowliest fan because I can't tell you who did what and what year and any of that. But I can tell you that I love to watch people play great games. And hockey is one of the best games out there. And it's a game little girls were never allowed to play.
Times have changed.
Yeah.
This is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
But I'm too old now.
No.
Oh, yeah, baby.
No, they have senior leagues.
Not a senior like this. Because I've already tried to do some of the things that now women are allowed to do, like snowboard. It's a mistake when you're in your 50s, if you haven't been doing it for a long time, to just say, oh, I like this. But it's so, I just love the game. I just love it.
Who are your favorite players?
Well, you know, Scott is one of my favorites.
Okay.
I love him. Mr. Brodeur, who I'm told is 11 or 12 away from all time. Yay. You know, and then the older guys like, you know, Gordie Howe and Willie O'Ree, my man.
Willie.
My man, Willie. You know, so I'm not the best versed. And, you know, the folks who are listening and listening into your show every day, they know a lot more about how the game works and all that. I just know that I'm passionate about watching it happen. And I'm so glad to see lots of different hues of and colors of players. That has always, to me, been something that I wanted to see. I wanted people to know that hockey is not just a Canadian game. And when I say that, because most people don't realize, you know, that black people actually played hockey, which was why it was so great to meet Willie O'Ree. He was like, oh, baby, you don't know the half of it. And to know that he's out there recruiting and to know that there are Asian players and Spanish players, and this is a game that's for everybody. I can't salute you guys enough for all the things that you've been doing to make hockey a game for everybody.
Well, that's nice of you to say. We pride ourselves on being perhaps the most diverse of all the sports, both in terms of composition of players coming mm-hmm. from North America and around the world.
Mm-hmm.
What are your favorite places to go to a game? You well, go to the Garden. Have you been to the Rock?
I've not been to the Rock.
We have to get you to the Rock.
Okay. It's nice. Hard to get. You know, I've been working so much. You know, it's tough when you got a daily gig to get out at night. You know, I'm...
I'll trade you.
Oh, I don't know if you would. But, you know, you
got
to sit with all those women, man, and it is something else, you know. But I haven't been out very much in the evenings just because I want to make sure I get everything done. But I just... Because I'm here on the East Coast, you know, when I was in Canada, you know, Norman... Oh, my God, my brain just went. I made a movie with him. Not Norman Lear.
No, I actually, Norman Jewison.
Norman yeah. Jewison.
Actually, I have a picture in my office of the three of
yes,
us.
Yes, you do.
At the old Maple Leaf Gardens.
Yes. Yes. And we, you know, that was a great building. That was just a great building. I know it was old and stuff, but I just thought, okay, I'm digging this.
So, can I ask you a quasi-personal question?
Sure.
How'd you get the name Whoopi?
Gas.
Gas?
Yeah. You don't want to take it any further than that.
Well, only if you want to explain.
I got the Wikipedia.com write-up right here, if anybody wants to know. There's something to do with a cushion in there, too, I believe.
Yeah, the cushion makes that certain kind of sound.
Yeah, the whoopee cushion.
Yeah. But you know what? I wanted to make sure that I did not leave out. Where's my Dougie Gilmore? I didn't want to leave out my Dougie because I have one of his jerseys that he wore. He's a great cat. I love him. And
great guy.
Yeah, he is a great guy. Yes, so I just wanted to say hey.
Shout out to Dougie.
Well, can I shout out to Phil Esposito?
Sure.
He's coming on. He's
on after us.
Right now.
Get out of here.
Yes.
Phil, baby, hey. And then Ron Gilbert.
Rod, will you see him down at the Garden?
Yeah. But I never spoke to him, but I'll say it from here.
Have there been any hockey-themed shows on The View?
I don't know. I've only been there a year and a half.
Well,
there could be some. You never know. I'm going to try to, you know, get a whole lot of things going on.
Well, they're already going on.
Yeah. Although after what you did to Johnny Drama on Entourage, I think people a little...
Wasn't that sweet?
That was fun.
I love those kids. I love those guys a lot. It was nice of them to do that for us because it was a... You know, we were in... And I don't know who else goes to Las Vegas in 123-degree heat and expect people to come and sit with us, but people did. And that group from Entourage, I have to tip my hat to them because they said, we'd love to do this with you.
So you've hosted the Academy Awards how many times?
Oh, 3 or 4.
See, we have that in common. You got to give the Oscars. I get to give the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a strange feeling because you're there in the middle of the excitement, but you really have nothing to
you
do with it.
You have nothing to do with it. But you can look good. And you know that
Well,
that
you look
cup.
Better than me.
Today.
No, always. Any given day.
But, you know, Commissioner, we were out on the ice.
It's commish now. That's great.
Oh, yeah, we're tight.
We're very tight. Gary is normally. The commish is just on air.
That's just me and him. But, you know, here in the store, it was wonderful to see that you have the Stanley Cup in miniature for folks and to have been able to touch that thing and tried to pick it up. They were like, here. I was like, oh, I don't think so. It was
actually, the Devils
stunning.
Gave it to you to
yes,
hoist
they did.
In 2003.
And all I could do was laugh because I just sank. It's so big.
35 pounds, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
35 pounds.
But when you're hoisting it, you know, because it's like the Academy. When you feel Oscar, he is very heavy. So, you know, people always throw it up. And so you get one and you think, I'm going to throw it up. And you go, wow. The same with the cup.
You're one of only 13 people that has won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
Yeah.
If you had to keep just one and the other three disappear, was one more special?
Well, it wasn't, and I'll tell you why. It would be a very difficult. I'd have to get rid of all of them. I could never just keep one because when I was a kid, little kid, you know, I watched the Oscars and I always loved movies. So I thought, oh, I would like to win one of those. And then when I got older and recognized that I could be on a stage as well, I thought, oh, I would like to have a Tony because that's kind of fantastic. So it's really the progression of my life, all of these awards that I never thought a kid from 26th Street and 10th Avenue would ever have or ever have the opportunity to do the things that I've done. So I've been really lucky, really lucky, and I dig it. And this, I mean, come on. When you said I was coming on, did people go, why?
No. I actually said she's actually agreed to do this and she's coming here. I was amazed.
Why?
I don't
we've
know.
We've had some good times.
We've had great times. You've been to a game this year?
Not this year, I haven't.
You go to a game with me?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And we have to bring Torsten K with us because, you know, Torsten is... He's crazed. I love this man. So he and I said we were going to go to Detroit. He forgot I didn't fly.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, you don't fly.
You're still not flying.
No.
You do the John Madden thing on the bus.
Absolutely.
Coast to coast?
Coast to coast.
Wow.
43 hours. And I get there, and I am as cute as can be. I get off an airplane, and it's scary. You don't ever want to see me. But I step off that bus, baby. I'm clean. I'm swell. I know what time it is. I have no issues with time change.
Jet lag.
I'm nothing.
What do you do for 43 hours on the bus?
I read and I watch movies.
That's a pretty good
thing. Yeah, I think so.
Which medium do you like being in the best? TV, stage, movies?
Whatever's going to make it easier for me to keep the lifestyle I have. Whichever medium is making it easier for me to have very little stress in my life. I don't want to have a lot of stress.
Do you like interviewing or being interviewed better?
I like both. I actually like the idea of the interviewer and the interviewee having a conversation, so they're interviewing each other.
That's
good. Which is fun because then you learn something about the person you're talking to, they learn something about you, and everybody's relaxed because they don't feel like they have to be on. They just have to be themselves. So I think that's better, but I know for all intents and purposes I'm supposed to say, oh, I don't mind being the interviewee.
We can do that so well.
Someday.
Okay, so what do you want to ask me?
So, you've been commissioner since
93. We were both young when I started.
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
And thin.
Can I get in there, too?
But you were young, too.
So, I'll ask the three of you. What's the biggest change you've seen in the game?
Oh, wow. Gone through so many changes since Gary took over, and especially since the work stoppage. I think the changes have been absolutely fantastic for the health of the game, the entertainment value. What I have a great curiosity about your view on fighting in the sport of hockey. What do you think of fighting? What do you think of the fights when you see two guys fighting?
Well,
as a fan?
As a fan, I mean, for me, I would rather they got back to the game. You know, but I understand that that's part and parcel of it, because you're skating hard, you're moving hard, you're trying to get stuff done, and somebody makes a wrong move, and pow, the next thing you know, you're in somebody's face. Now, the sticks, you know, fist to fist, okay, I can understand. You pick up a stick to somebody, you should not be able to play.
That's kind of like...
That's the way the league does it.
Yeah, because, you know, fist to fist, okay, that is understandable, you know. But you cannot hit people with objects.
We agree.
You know, because can you imagine if somebody was strong enough to pick up the net? You know what I mean?
Some of them are.
Yeah, that's what's scary.
Fortunately, you know? That doesn't happen very often.
No, not very often. But I will say there are times when there have been fights where you just go, I am so glad I'm here. I'm so glad I'm not there. Because you want to get involved with it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all fans know more than any of the refs.
Always.
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 And we're nowhere near the ice. We're at home watching the ref going back. We don't know what's going on, but we know better than them.
Of course. But that's the beauty of sport, rooting your heart out.
Yeah. And that's why I can't root for one. If there are two teams that I love, I root for both of them to finish safely, you know, and not have any injuries and have great games for us to talk about.
So what Gary's assignment is when you go to a game with him is to get one of those jerseys that you see in the stands of couples, one cheering for one team, one for the other. You cut two jerseys down the middle. You sew them together so it could be half Devils, half Rangers.
I could do a whole thing. I could just be like a patchwork.
Whoopee quilt.
That's right. That's right.
Well, it's all good.
Cool.
Great. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for letting me come in.
Oh, it's fantastic.
We'll go to a game together.
Okay, you're on.
And sounds I didn't great. Even tell my wife that you were going to be on the show. She's going to be so angry because she's not listening, and she's such a huge fan.
Well, what's her name? You're taping this,
Sissy.
Right?
This is live.
Don't usually. Yeah, this, I don't know. Somebody somewhere may be taping.
No, you have a backup.
Her name's Sissy.
We like to destroy the evidence.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Sissy, in case this does get taped, hey, girl, he meant to tell you, but he was so overwhelmed by all my demands for water.
This is fantastic. Whoopi Goldberg, thank you so much for being part of this. And we've had guests in here, but nobody has been as passionate a fan, I venture to say, and nobody has been as much fun as you sitting here with us today.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
I'll see you again.
We would love that.
Thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
All right. Chance for everybody to line up on our board. Our number again, 877-645-6696. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll take all of your calls. The NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice, XM 204, Sirius 208, and NHL.com.
Check it out!
Welcome back. Bill Clement with Gary Bettman. This is XM 204, Sirius 208, and this is the NHL Hour.
Hey, just tell me you threw out everything Def Leppard in your house. Come on. Just tell me you did. That was wrong.
Well, you know what? People make mistakes, and when you're dealing with rock stars, you got to, you know, anticipate the unanticipated, and you get what you get. By the way, I had nothing to throw out.
You had what? Oh, okay. I kind of guessed that.
You got it? Okay.
I got that.
You know my taste in music.
I actually have a comment. I got some iTunes. I got some Def Leppards on my iTunes. I'm really down on
them. You know what? Take it easy on them. They were good guys. They tried their best. And, you know, as I said, when you're dealing with rock stars, you never know what you're going to get.
Were they out of green M&Ms or something? The guy got a little finicky.
What are green M&Ms?
That's what they are. The rock star syndrome. Only want the green M&Ms in the back of the limo.
Is that it?
Did you
enjoy our last guest? Wasn't she terrific?
Fantastic! There aren't many people that I meet where I say that was a real thrill and it will leave a lasting impression on me. She is one of them. That was fantastic. She's so gracious.
She's very special. I mean, the talent, all the awards she's won, all the accolades.
Yeah. How long have you known her?
Actually, the first time I met her was at the old Maple Leaf Garden with Norman Jewison. It must have been at least 10 or 12 years ago.
Wow. You know, she's so fantastic in everything that she does.
Great lady. And why don't we talk to some of our great fans? Vince from Virginia Beach, you're on XM 204, Sirius 208 with Bill and Gary.
Hey, Gary, Bill, how you gentlemen doing? I think after listening to Whoopi, I just cannot see how somebody could have a half of a Devil's jersey and a half of a Ranger jersey. That is really
That was Bill's idea. Don't blame Whoopi. Was Bill's idea.
If anybody can carry it off, Whoopi Goldberg can carry it off.
That's true, but that was a silly idea.
She was 50-50 on him. Well, I thought it fit the percentage.
I think she was being politically correct. Anyway, Vince, what can we do for you?
I was going to ask you about Radulov. I mean, I think that he bailed on the NHL. I think that he should be punished in some way, shape, or form. And I know he's part of a union, and blacklisting, of course, is probably out of the question, or is it?
Well,
the thing is, the guy thumbed his nose up at everybody and decided that he was going to do what he damn well wanted to do. Did it, and in other words, I just think that everybody should say, "Hey, listen, we just don't need this guy back here anymore." Well, end of story. And I'll take your answer off the air, sir.
By the way, I understand the sentiment, and sometimes when I'm pacing the hallways at 3 o'clock in the morning, I feel the same way. But you've got to also look at it from the other perspective, and there are two things to take into account. One, punishing him. Now that he's over in Russia, there isn't a whole lot we can do to him here, either as a league matter or even for the courts in the United States. But secondly, if at some point he wants to come back, who are you punishing in addition to him but Nashville? And I think Nashville would very much like to have him back.
Yeah.
And so to say that in addition to the fact that he breached his contract and they've been damaged or punished, now you're going to punish it worse. It's a ticklish situation. The thing that drives me crazy is that people suggest, well, you know, this is all a problem because of a disagreement between the NHL and the Continental Hockey League, and they need to work it out. First and foremost, this problem arose because a player, in blatant disregard of his contractual obligations, in blatant disregard of a perfectly valid and binding contract that he played 2 years under, decided to sign another contract that he had no right to sign. And so the responsibility, and this is where I agree with Vince, is with the player, but at the end of the day, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. If ultimately he wants to come back, why do we then compound the problem for Nashville
and
punish
him? You can't do that.
Yeah, well, you can, but it wouldn't be nice or fair. Why don't we talk to Brian from Columbus? You're on XM 204, Sirius 208 with Bill and Gary.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my question. My question is actually for Gary. I know you just met with Mike Pekka and some of his people and the Blue Jackets people. What was your take on the meeting?
Well, we had a constructive meeting. It was the appeal that Michael had the right to bring with respect to the rulebook suspension imposed by the officials for abuse of official under Rule 41. We had a candid hearing. Everybody had an opportunity to say what was on their mind. Michael, I believe, was quite contrite. And I now have to make a decision as to what, if anything, I'm going to do on the appeal. And that's something that I'll start thinking about when I finish this show in about 25 minutes. The session's over, and at some point in the not-too-distant future, we'll issue a ruling on what his status will be. He's already served, I think, 2 games of what was initially a 10-game suspension, and I'm going to have to decide whether or not I uphold it as 10 games or we move it around under the rules and change the amount. And that's something that that was the purpose of today's hearing, for me to have all that information and to hear what Michael and the Players Association and Scott Housen from the Blue Jackets had to say on the subject.
Can you define not too distant future?
Soon. I don't want to put undue pressure on myself. You know, I mean, obviously it's not going to come down today, perhaps tomorrow, but I don't want to make a promise that people can, you know, say is cut in stone, because things happen in the course of the day. But it is an important issue, and I will deal with it promptly. But I also want to give it the thought and reflection that it deserves. It's an important decision that I have to make. Why don't we take Rick from Ontario? This is Gary and Bill. You're on XM 204, Sirius 208, and this is the NHL Hour.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you?
Howdy.
I'm good. Mr. Batman, I'm a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, have been since the day I've been born.
When were you born? Have you witnessed the cup or not?
I was nine.
Okay.
I was nine years old when we won the cup last. I've had so many embarrassing moments being a Leaf fan over the last 40-plus years. But the biggest one, the whole week, is the biggest embarrassment to the Leafs organization. You have to do something about this guy. He's going to kill somebody or he's going to permanently maim somebody. The hitting from behind has to stop. I know he got a 3-game minimum suspension, but the league has to do something. He's going to kill somebody.
Well, obviously, we don't want anyone to kill anybody on the ice. That's the last thing we want.
No.
And he was suspended as somebody who's a repeat offender, and the stakes will continue to get higher. We're seeking to discourage that type of conduct, obviously, and if it happens again, and we're hoping it doesn't, the penalty will be even more severe, and ultimately, if it continues, it won't just simply be a mandatory rule book suspension. It will be something that supplemental discipline deals with, and because you're right, we don't want anybody getting injured, and hits from behind have no place in our game. And so that's something we monitor very, very carefully. Mike in Minnesota, you're on with Bill and Gary, XM 204, Sirius 208, the NHL Hour.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great, thanks.
How are you?
Not too bad. So I have two questions here. 2009 Winter Classic, when are tickets going to go on sale to the general public? And, Bill, if Gabrick got out of the lineup tonight, does that mean he's out of Minnesota?
That's a really interesting question. I know rumors are flying about what's going to happen to Gabrick in Minnesota, but I wouldn't think that just being out of the lineup tonight is the deal. It's officially being called a lower body situation right now. I'd be more concerned with his penchant for lower body issues that he's had in the last few years. But I know one thing. Doug Risebrough knows what he's doing.
And I also don't think they would indicate that there was an injury if he was a healthy scratch.
Right.
In other words, if he was a healthy scratch, I might buy into it. But as evasive as our clubs like to be on injuries, the fact is I don't think they fabricate them and say a guy's injured when he's not. That's something that they're not allowed to do that. Tickets should be on sale, I'm not sure, soon. I'm not sure how much is going to be available to the general public. There will be some because unlike Ralph Wilson Stadium where we had 72,000 seats, Wrigley Field in Chicago is a little bit smaller, 40,000. We have to first and foremost take care of Blackhawks season ticket holders. We promised some tickets to the Red Wings as well. But there will be some on public sale, and it should be in the next few weeks. And it will be widely known. Keep following on NHL.com, and you'll get the exact date. But we haven't fixed the date to do it as of yet. Paul in Ontario, you're on with Bill and Gary, XM 204, Sirius 208.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
My question, well, it's not really a question. I have a little concern with where we're headed with the center ice package. And, Mr. Commissioner, I apologize for bringing this to your attention, but it seems you have the answers in this matter more than anyone else. The center ice was billed as an avenue to watch our non-local market. For me, that's Southern Ontario. So I subscribe and want to watch Pittsburgh Penguins as much as possible. Well, lo and behold, Tuesday night, they're not on. It's on TSN2, who has now grabbed some games. And it looks like a lot of Tuesday nights, they're going to grab games that used to be on the center ice package. That then happens again November 11th and November 18th. I won't be able to see Pittsburgh because my local carrier does not carry TSN2. Now, I can understand that's an issue with my local carrier, but my concern going forward is center ice going to be losing more and more games as we go forward in the future?
Well, TSN2 shows games nationally throughout Canada, and as a result, when you're carrying a national game, it can't be shown on center ice. That's the contractual relationships we have. At this time, I believe Rogers doesn't carry TSN2. Do you get Rogers? Is that how you get your I believe that's how you get it. So fans on Rogers who aren't getting TSN2, we urge you to contact Rogers and ask for TSN2. And that's the best way to do it. I find that the satellite providers and cable operators are very responsive when they hear that their subscribers want a particular service. And so if you're not getting TSN2 and you want it, please ask for it. But our goal is to have wide national distribution for these games. Why don't we go to Craig in New York? You're on XM 204, Sirius 208 with Bill and Gary.
How are you, gentlemen?
Good.
Great.
How are you?
Very well. I wanted to say thank you to Mr. Bettman for the kickoff that the NHL put on Monday at the Reebok NHL store. It was just it's something you don't see in sports. Like, you don't have commissioners on the football radio or baseball radio talking to their fans and answering questions. It was a warm, wonderful, fuzzy feeling day with the old players they brought back, some of the guys I hated as a child, Bob Battleship Kelly and Dave Schultz, Terry O'Reilly, you know, I tell you what, they were warm, wonderful, and the NHL and Mr. Bettman especially should be commended, and I just think it's great, and let's get this game out as far as possible.
Well, thank you. Are you the one who won the Honda we gave away?
Actually, I was the one that asked if you were having a midlife crisis when you're on the original six bike that they brought out from
Orange County Choppers. By the way, for those of you who are in New York and haven't been to the store, come up, see it. It's great fun. But there's also a chopper built by Orange County Choppers. I think it'll actually be on their show, which I believe is on the Discovery Channel or one of those.
It was.
But they're still on the air, and they designed an original six chopper, and it is absolutely terrific. And we're going to auction it off on NHL.com for Hockey Fights Cancer, and it'll be auctioned off during the course of this year. So, but I appreciate the caller's view on it, and come by more often. And for anybody in New York, we urge you to come to the NHL store powered by Reebok, 47th Street and Avenue of the Americas. And that was not a paid announcement, but so what?
it's a revenue-producing announcement.
Ed in Toronto, you're on with Bill and Gary, XM 204, Sirius 208. Good. How are you doing?
Oh, not bad, not bad. My question is the Sharapanov incident overseas. I'm just wondering what precautions do you have at the NHL versus what they have over there? And I'm not sure if you've seen it. I'm sure you have, or if you haven't, YouTube video, which is really disturbing on what happened there. I know that would never happen here, but just to explain to the fans what we have in place in the NHL that stuff like this would never happen.
We have a whole series of rules and regulations to govern what has to be available and immediately on site in any of our arenas during the games and during practices, which I'll talk about as well. We have requirements in terms of training of the trainers. They need to have certain emergency training in terms of pulmonary and cardio distress. There needs to be two doctors in the building, each with training that's appropriate for crisis management. They have to be within 50 feet of the benches, and they have to have immediate, easy access. We have all sorts of equipment to deal
the
with
defibrillators, any
the whole deal. And our trainers take the monitoring and care of this very seriously. We do an audit. We did one this summer to ensure that everybody was doing what they're supposed to do and in compliance. We've had two incidents in the last few years. We had Yuri Fisher, whose heart stopped beating and was revived on the bench in Detroit. And Zednik last year, when his throat was slashed in Buffalo, there's at least two dedicated ambulances in the building, one for the players and one for fans and spectators, obviously. And this summer, we in working with the doctors and trainers, have created kits that are now at every practice facility, because when teams are on the road, they don't have all their equipment with them. We now have kits for them to have available because fluky things could happen in a practice. The whole medical care and treatment from an emergency standpoint of our players is about as high a priority as you could imagine for us, because we understand that things can happen in the blink of an eye in the game, and we need to be as prepared as possible. And we spend a great deal of time, money, and effort working on this. And we've got great professionals. The trainers and the doctors are absolutely expert at what they do. By the way, does that mean you're perfectly protected against every conceivable tragedy? No, but you want to give a player in a distressed situation every possible chance to get through it. And the unfortunate incidents that we've had, we've been very fortunate in the results as a result of the precautions. And actually, it's not just who's there, the training they have, and the equipment. They also go through drills to practice what to do in an emergency situation.
I did not know that. So they have gone through dry runs and rehearsals.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Len in Ontario, you're on with Bill and Gary, XM 204, Sirius 208. This is the NHL Hour.
Yeah, I have a question, Commissioner. I was interested in finding out what your favorite movie was, since this is a bit of a Hollywood kind of a show today. What your favorite movie was involving hockey, and what plans the NHL has to sponsor or participate in movies in the future, considering you have about 10% of your franchises are in California.
That's a good question, and I'm going to name three movies. The sentimental favorite this week will be, because of Paul Newman's recent passing, Slapshot. But I every time they're on television in reruns, I always watch Miracle and Mystery Alaska. So I like all three of them.
They're all good.
But Slapshot is, in my view, the classic sports movie, period. No second chance. In terms of what we do, we work with Hollywood. We try and get involved to get presence in movies. The last movie we did together was with Mike Myers, and he's a great talent. And, you know, I saw Love Guru. I laughed out loud a few times, but it didn't do so well. So not every time you get involved with a movie does it work out the way it did, say, for example, with a Slapshot or a Mystery Alaska.
Orin Kulis in the house now.
Orin Kulis.
Or this genre of movie work.
Well, as he told me, Orin Kulis, for those who don't know, is one of the two new principal owners in Tampa Bay. In addition to being the executive producer of Two and a Half Men, which is a hit television show, he's also executive producer of the Saw movies. I hadn't seen one, and he said to me when I saw him in Prague, "I'm not concerned because you're not our demographic."
I get that part.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So do I. Dave in Chicago, you're on with Bill and Gary, XM 204, Sirius 208.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I'm a Blackhawks season ticket holder. I'm thrilled to have the Winter Classic. I just have a question as to why Wrigley Field? Because of the concessions aren't that great. The parking's a nightmare, and some of the seats are obstructive view too. And you really can't fill too many guys in the skyboxes there.
Well,
I just wonder why that, as opposed to like a Soldier Field or U.S. Cellular.
Very good questions, and the answer is following. One, it's a 100-year-old stadium with great history, tradition. It's been the site of many classic sporting events. Two, it's very tough, as we learned last year, to use an NFL stadium during the season because the startup and takedown time for building the ice and taking it down is potentially very disruptive to the next game, particularly if there's a playoff game. And so we weren't comfortable. While we had a good experience at Ralph Wilson Stadium last year in Buffalo, we were kind of lucky with the timing. If the Bills had a playoff game after our game, I'm not so sure what shape the field would have been in. And while U.S. Cellular is a great baseball stadium, we decided to go to the place that had the history, the tradition, and was a classic. Hopefully it'll work out well. I'll look for you at the game, and hopefully it will snow ever so lightly on New Year's Day.
So when I hear somebody yelling, "Cue the snow," that will be you.
It'll be the snow guns that we borrow from a ski area that we put on the roof.
Okay. That's it for today. The fastest hour in show business has come and gone. Again, our thanks to Dan Cronin working the board here in New York. He's going to law school. Our thanks to Mike Trigiani in Toronto working the board. He's in trouble with the law. Only kidding, Trigger. Phil Esposito and Mike Ross are up next in the slot, and we will be back and looking forward to it next Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern, right here on the NHL Hour on XM 204 and Sirius 208. See you then.